We're busy with a sermon series. It's called Purposely Made. You are made for a purpose. We've been saying it the last few weeks. This week, we are starting very specifically with like the second part of the sermon series. We're going to talk through all the gifts that you find in Scripture. All right? Now, what makes it a bit different is normally you'd like to talk more on Christ, who He is, and what He wants to accomplish through you. In a service like this, you would really want to break open God's Word and reveal Christ. What makes it a bit different this week, we're talking tonight on what He gave us. So as God distributed these gifts, He had you in mind, all right? But it's not because this world goes, it's not because this world is made for you, but it's because He wants to use you to lift up His name. And so every gift, as we discover these gifts, you see it's given to a human being to serve another, so that He may be glorified. And so, as we discover these gifts tonight and talk through them, I want you to see the heart of Christ in each and every one of those gifts. Every gift He gives is something about Him that He gives to us. All right? And so, if we come into a place where we are good stewards, goeie rentmeester, of these things, then we can actually walk into our purpose, why we are made. And that's why we are doing this sermon series. The first two Sundays we went to, it was on the heart of the servant. What causes people to serve and what is the heart you should cherish being a servant of God? And you can get that from the internet. Tonight we shift the gear and we're jumping into the gifts, all right? If we could just go to slide number 3 that says shape. This is what we are busy with. If we talk about a shape, it says, it's S for spiritual gift, H for heart, A for abilities, B for personality, and E for experiences, all right? These are the things that makes you who you are. Some of it was given to you by God, and we're going to discuss those tonight. We're going to sit with spiritual gifts for the next 3 weeks, because there's 3 sets of gifts in the Bible. We're going to discuss all of them. And then there's certain things about you that made you the way you are today. And some of it included your experience. Some of it your skills, your talents. And all this determines what your purpose on earth is. And that's what we're trying to figure out the next while. We're going to help you with that in small group as well. Not this week, but the week after that. We want to have questionnaires that helps you put your finger on a few of these things that's in your heart. Ask you questions and you count it together and then it reveals all these awesome things. We're going to help you with this. All right? Is that exciting? It is, eh? All right, let's just quickly, before I just jump into this, this is a scripture we just quickly mentioned, or a slide we had on last week. The slide ministry. This is the word ministry that we find in the Bible used a lot of the time. And there's a definition of it. It's a primitive root to attend as a menial or worshiper. Figuratively, to contribute to or minister unto. Now, the idea that we get from this word ministry is often, it's quite different than what you or what we as humans perceive it to be. We think ministry is what I'm doing now, and that's it. Or when you lead people in song, that's ministry. When you preach, that's ministry. And that is ministry, but ministry is a lot wider than that. Ministry in the Old Testament would even be cleaning the temple, preparing the altar for the offering to come. And we use the example of little Samuel growing up in the temple. And it said, as a young man, he ministered unto God. And the picture we got is, even if there was a room he was cleaning, it was ministry unto God. So for a start, we need to just burst out of our perception of what ministry is and what it's not. All right? It's not so much what we do, it's but unto whom we are doing it. God calls you to take a specific task very seriously, right, around church. It is ministry unto Him, whether it involves a microphone or not, because it's done unto Him. Are you guys with me? Just very important to understand this before we go on. Now, there's 3 sets of gifts in the Bible, all right, and I'm just quickly going to mention it, and then we're going to sit on one of these tonight. There's actually other times as well when the Bible refers to gifts that God gives, but most of these can be traced back to these 3 almost want to say sections or different aspects when it comes to giftedness. The first one you'll find in Romans 12, that's where we're going to be today. It deals a lot about how you were made, stuff that was placed in you by God. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, some of you know about this, you get the gifts of the Spirit, which is scary stuff. It mentions gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, those kind of things. It's when God comes and He does something through you. Right? It's not so much your gift as it is the gift of the Spirit, which He wants to use as you allow Him to, as it's needed. And then there's the gifts of the Son that we find in Ephesians 4. The scripture says, Christ led captivities captive and He gave gifts. Okay? Now, basically, the way you need to think about gifts when it comes to the Bible is you need to think three-dimensional. It's very important because you are three-dimensional. It's a lot easier to think about these gifts if you think of a home or like a building like this where you actually stand in. It's like you've got the foundation, you've got the walls and the roof. When you see a picture, maybe it looks flat and you know it's a three-dimensional thing because you've been into a building before, but it's much better to actually think about the gifts of God like this. Some of the gifts are meant to be like a foundation. Some of it is meant to be like a wall and some like a roof. And you as a leader also function in different ways. If you think about it, for those of you that's married with kids, in one way you are a leader to your wife and your kids. And there's a type of leadership that God needs to work through you to be a good husband, both kind and leading strong. But then there's also where you go to work and now you're a CEO. And the leadership at work looks a bit different than the leadership at home. It's not like you become a different person. It's just, it's a different environment. And then there's maybe you are a leader to your friends. So it's a friendship circle, but you actually fit into that as well in a certain way. And the gifts of God works a bit like that. Now, if I could just quickly give you an overview. Number one, where we're going to deal with tonight is, we'd like to call it the person gifts or the personality gifts. These things, I'd like to see it as a foundation. You're born with them. And as we discover them tonight, you will see a lot of these things that we talk through, you can even see in people that does not know God at all. You see these traits. It's in them. It's like someone that's got a talent to kick a soccer ball, okay? But they haven't been trained. So if you put a ball in front of them, they smash it. There's no accuracy. It just, blah, just goes. Now, if they get onto a soccer field with a great coach, they become an excellent kicker of the ball. And these gifts are a bit like this. You tend to see it in someone that is very far from God, and you see that gift can actually hurt that person. It can also become their weakness. But you do sense something in someone even before they know God. That's number one. I like to call it the foundation. Then with the spiritual gifts, I like to see them as the walls. These are things that God wants to do through you. 1 Corinthians 12. He wants you to be ready to be used by Him at any time, at any moment, as is needed. And then as time goes on, as you are faithful year after year, and you remain in the house of God, you tend to develop in a type of leader for the church. That's the gifts number three. We'll get to them in 3 weeks. It speaks of leadership gifts, the gifts of the Son. I don't even know exactly where I fit in there, but the Bible speaks of teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists. What it means is as you grow in the church over time and you make out the leadership of the church with other leaders, you guys differ in a certain way that the puzzle fits perfectly for your church. You'd think about things differently and therefore there will be a balance. Are you with me? The gifts of number three, if you want to be ahead of me and go and read in that, these are not things that God hands out 1, 2, 3 for you. I don't even know where I fit in yet. I've been a pastor for longer than 5 years. I think I know where God is heading with me, but I'll have to be faithful for 20 more years to find my place when it comes to a leader in God's church. But those seeds are in you. All of these are in you somewhere. And they're three-dimensional. They come out in different places. So now they're going to lack a demogorgon. So you must come the next 3 weeks. Amen? Awesome. Guys, I want to start by saying that if God did not gift us exactly the way He did, there would be no church. There would be no people of God coming together, standing together to see His kingdom come. It would not be possible. We would be fighting with one another. We would be all about doing stuff individually. But God gives us gifts so that in a very, very supernatural way, when we come together, we love to work with one another. And sure, there's times when there's tension and there's anger, and that's also part of God's heart to help us clean our hearts. But He gifts us very specifically. And I want you to be very aware of where you fit in as we walk, as we go through these gifts tonight. I want to pray for us, and then I want to show you a video clip that we prepared for the sermon series. Father, I want to thank You for what You want to do tonight. My prayer is, Lord, that You will give every person in this church their rightful place. Even for those, Lord, that's still seeking You, not sure what You want to do with them. Maybe they feel they don't have gifts. I pray that You will open their eyes tonight and speak with them. In the name of Jesus. Cool. We've got something for you guys.
We are part of the setup team here at the church. The setup team is part of the journey of changing lives. We are very blessed to be part of this church and the setup team.
Come set Your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made.
Come set. In the media team, we help the worship team connect people with God.
Like wildfire in our very souls.
At the Connect table, our heart is to connect you to who we are and what we are up to, so that you can join in the fellowship. So get connected at the Connect table.
Your power in us.
I think hospitality is a great place to connect with people and to build real relationships. And we love to serve in the church.
To waste our lives. Our joy and prize to see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor.
Hi, I'm Carla from the worship team, and we're here at Kickstart Worship on Sunday.
We are your church.
Hi, we are the welcome team, and we are here to make you feel at home. At Chapel Secunda Children's Church, we have an amazing team of facilitators that teach the children here biblical principles, and we take a lot of joy in raising up the next generation of Jesus followers, and we have a lot of fun while doing
it.
Tonight there was men in this church that carried sound equipment, there was ladies that prepared food, there was people that came with a gift and served in the worship team, and many other areas where people served God's church tonight, and because of that, lives changed in this town. The Bible says that we are God's building, and at this time I can just see how God, just with His perfect hand, is just placing us together at this time to change this town. And as we go out this week, let's go and show this town the love of Jesus.
We are your church. We are the home on earth.
Wow, guys, we're going to have it on Facebook tonight. Will you share it to the world? Can we do that? Share in, I don't know, tag, whatever. This fits in with what we are doing at this time. We are a team, and God is using us in amazing ways, and I just wanted that to be a backdrop for where we are going, for where we are going tonight. I want to read for us out of Romans 12 verse 3, and I'm going to start the passage for tonight. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. Now, he's setting us up. He's going to talk about the gifts, Paul. And before he heads into the gifts, he starts by setting the tone. He says, I want everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And we mentioned this last week, but let me just stop for a second. Why is it so important that you are very humble when it comes to the gifts? Because it's so simple. One of the gifts we're going to get to is the gift of being generous, which means you are giving to another person. If there's a giver, that means that there must be a receiver. That means there's one who has and there's one who's got nothing or less. And what Paul says, he says, we're all the same in value. No one is better than another. Even if it comes to something as simple as encouragement or prayer, if there's someone giving the ministry, it means someone is receiving the ministry. And so before we get to the gifts, Paul says, guys, I want you to serve from the bottom up. That's where I want your heart to be. Then he goes on, for as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So, though many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. And here he starts, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. All right? Let's take them one by one. Romans 12 verse 6. Just before we head into prophecy, which is the first one, we have gifts that differ because of the grace of God. And what you need to understand when it comes to these gifts is there is a reason that you are the way you are. Let me tell you something. There's something about your bloodline and your family that's from God. As families, if we put them on a picture and you put another family next to them, you can almost see these guys, you know, they're from the same families. Maybe they're very tall, or maybe they're very pale, or maybe, I don't know, you see. And so a lot of things come to you through your parents, and that's great. But then there's sometimes these odd gifts that no one in your family possess it. Like, no one in your family can sing. And then suddenly, here comes you. Instrumental, you can sing. And where does it come from? I'm telling you what, it did not come from your parents. It came directly from God. It was a grace. And maybe everyone in your family is engineers, and here comes you. Everyone thinks you're weird. And you're actually an artist. Where did that come from? And you search the family tree and there's no one. It came directly from God. He graced you. He wanted to give it to you. And when it comes to these gifts, you need to know God has purposely done it that way. And for some of you, it should set you free, because a lot of you guys are so in competition with yourself and other people, wanting to be like someone else, wasting precious time and mental energy, wearing yourself down. The best thing you can do is to say, I am purposely made. And what I am is grace from God. He put me together that way. And then to start thanking God for it. Because some of those gifts are actually laying as seeds under the ground. And thankfulness for who you are is the water that's going to cause it to grow. All right? And so here's the first one, which is a very weird one in this set of gifts. Prophecy. Having gifts according to the grace given to us that differ, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. It's a very weird one in this list. Would you agree? If we say you get born with this, it's almost prophecy for us. Sometimes it's something that sounds spooky. You know, it's cloudy. It's misty. Someone's going to tell me my future. You know, maybe you see someone, I don't know, praying with candles, you know, into your future, and whatever your perception is. And here comes Paul, and he writes it right here. says you're made in a certain way, and he always prophecy in there. Now, the first thing we need to do is we need to just see what is prophecy and what's not. If we could just go to the next slide. Just see this picture, this movie play off before your eyes. This is John writing Revelation. He says, I fell down at his feet to worship. At this moment, he's falling before an angel to worship. I mean, this angel was glorious. He's like, oh, let me worship. Okay, just didn't know what he was doing. And the angel says, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. That's what the angel says. And then he says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Just look at that. What is prophecy? When the Holy Spirit empowers prophecy, who gets lifted up? Jesus. At that moment, that angel was exhibiting the gift of prophecy. He said, no, don't worship me, worship him. He was pointing worship to the right place. Now, in a very broad sense, that is the heart of prophecy. Is this pleasing God? Is this pointing to God? How can this area of my life point to God as a testimony? That is the spirit of prophecy. All right? And you know this, because you know what? You even see it as some people, way before they know God, they are extremely conscience driven. That's how this thing looks before the cross. These people might sit with a world of guilt. They want to be good. And they know they're not washed. Maybe the gospel haven't been told to them. Maybe they're struggling with it. I've met a lot of these people when we were on outreaches. What did you call Warren? What was those things called there in Cape Town where they play the music for 3 days and I don't know on what kind of stuff those people are back there. It's some other trance party vibes. I've met a lot of those people there because those people, we had at stations that we called, we named it something like prayer for your future, whatever. And they all came because they were seeking for truth. They thought it's a bit more like a crystal ball thing. But we actually just prayed the love of God over them and really helped them. But I met a lot of people there that were searching for the essence of life. Why am I made? Why am I here? And these people would live, they will miss God completely, but in their minds they are trying to do the best with the life given to them. It's almost like they know they're holding themselves accountable to what's happening in their life. And when there's someone that serves the Lord, when the gift of prophecy is redeemed, that's what the prophet does. Are we actually following God's heartbeat here? That's the heart of the prophet. We can do all the right things, but where's our heart? And where's our motive? Are we pleasing God? And you know people like this. It's like they're searching for the meaning of life. And those are often the people born with this thing of prophecy. When they get scripture into them, worship, prayer, they do so well at discerning their own heart and motivating people to worship God in a true way. It's the gift of prophecy. When it comes to the believers of this gift, people, these guys will also try and say, what does the word of God has to say about this situation? Okay, it's great, we're doing all these things, but are we doing what God is saying? Are we pleasing unto him? Right? And they will go to bed. A lot of us will go to bed and we'll just sleep. And after days of work for God, and these people will be awake. God, are we pleasing unto you? Lord, are we okay? Were you lifted up? Can I just ask, who's the prophets here? Oh, who's the one? It's the work of your hand on the scene. Okay? We thank God for you guys. You must be here. So that we can work together, amen? And you, this is a very hard one to track before someone knows God, but you can actually see it. Everyone with me? Let's go on. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, focusing on the serving one. It's the second gift, serving. Did you know it's a gift? It's crazy. Let me tell you something about these people. These a specific type of person that God graced in a very specific way. They believe this thing with ministry, this thing about ministry being around certain things, like what you see here, sound, setting up stuff. These people believe that when they do it, it's going to contribute to someone giving their life to God. They believe it. It's in their spirit. Maybe if they don't think it, it's there. That's why they are here. But what's very important for people with a gift of service is not so much what they do, but the condition of their heart when they do it. They see serving as a privilege, not as something they must do. In my 3 years of being a pastor of this church, it's now longer than 3 years, I've never ever had someone coming to me moaning about serving in this church. I've never been in a church with a bigger percentage of the people serve. More than 50% of the members in this church serve somewhere. I've never heard someone complain. This is something that God has graced us as a community with very strongly. And I'm very grateful for it. These people, when someone comes through the door and they maybe feel far from God, they maybe feel scared to be here, when they serve them, in the way they present their hearts, they actually open the hearts of people to connect with Christ. And if you are, maybe you know God and you're going through a very tough time, it's just weird. You want to be with these people. You want to be in their space. You just want to go to their home. And it is just so weird because you go to them and they make you a cup of coffee just like any other friend, but you feel ministered to. It's a gift they have. Gift of serving. Coffee tastes the same, but you go home and you feel, man, I feel comforted. Who knows people like this? I know a few. This is amazing. If it was not for these people, there'd be no churches. I'll tell you that. I think if they would have an anthem slide or an anthem scripture, it'll be this. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And they won't even think about it, but as they are reading this, they say, yes, this motivates me. It's a gift of serving. And you can see it even before someone knows God. They just want to help. Where's Nils? Is he here? After. Nils has got the gift of serving. Nils will come to your house even way before he knew God. I knew him. He would come and he would fix stuff in my home. You know, he just helped me with the car, hang die gordijn op, hierdie hande is rond. And you just get those people and they see it as a privilege. They just want to be in a situation where they can help even before they know Jesus. Here's the thing. Why is it important to bring this gift to Christ? If you don't, people will use you. They will use you to such an extent that you will lose your family. Because at work, they will keep you there all the time. Only God can help these people to draw boundaries. I love you, sir. I love this company. 5:30, I'm at home with my wife and kids. That's why I say these things are in people, but only God can complete it. Are you with me? Can you see that? Who thinks they're the servants? It's very hard. I know it's hard. Hand up. Yeah. I see you guys. I see you wanted to like do a little bit of a hoo-ha when we had serving up there because these guys are passionate about it and they don't understand that everyone don't think like them. They just don't get it. It frustrates it out of them. Guys, I just want to give you comfort. You've got a special grace for it. And it's not an excuse for any one of us to be lazy, but these guys will be the fire in the process. Carl is not here tonight. Carl is a servant. Amen? He'll do it until he dies. It's just in him. He can't help it. God gave it to him. Lawrence is not here tonight. Who knows Lawrence? Lawrence is a servant. Okay? God placed it there. Sorry if you guys don't know the people, but just it's helpful for some of the people here. Okay, everyone with me? Number three, teaching. Oof. Come on, no. The one who teaches in his teaching. Listen, these guys are interesting. They cannot be wrong. Okay? They cannot. You give a great fact about something, they've got a better one. Okay? They always have the last word. Okay? Not really. They're really amazing. But God needs to take this gift as well. The weird thing about these people is they want an audience to teach. But before they know God, the hardest thing they can get is someone to listen to them. Because they are so adamant to teach someone that people sense that it's needless and they run. And they don't want to be around these people. It's a very tough nut to crack, okay? But we'll get to understand this a bit better in a second. They are made stubborn for a reason. Okay? Because they are in our midst to help us stay true to Scripture. And they will not turn it to the right or to the left. If God said, do this, and maybe a day before the time, a bunch of us has got other ways to get out of that commitment, they will not. They will say, what? You said we're going to do it. And now you're pulling back. They're the black and white ones amongst us. Okay, this reg is verkeerd. This in is uit. Okay, they will often tell you when you sit, you are crying and it's, you know, he left you again for the third time. And they will tell you, oh, because you were stupid. Okay? They'll just bring it. Because they are motivated about what is right and what is wrong and why are you not doing what is right. Alright? And so if we leave these guys to themselves, they will burn the church down and everyone will be gone. Okay? But once Jesus gets his hand on these hearts, cannot be without them. Cannot be without them. When we think about this, we often think, oh, I like talking to people. It's not it. Let me explain to you the heart of the teacher when God has got hold of it. They've got an appetite for learning. They want to hear. They want to study. They want to understand. They want to listen to other people. They've got patience when they listen to other people. When this gift is redeemed. Why? Because they truly want to help this person take the next step and therefore they need to understand where they are at. So the greatest teachers make the greatest listeners. Those are the ones who get the phone calls for help and the audience that every one of these guys actually desire. They will take the long road to help someone understand. They will not... The heart of the teacher, once it is redeemed, they will not use it to sound smarter. They will use it to help. So they will climb into someone's world and try and understand where is this person from and how do they perceive this so they can really help that person. Can I tell you who's like that? Hanu. That's Hanu. And he's got a redeemed gift for teaching. Amen. He's very good at it. Listens well, explains well, breaks it open. So I'm new for that. I didn't plan that, but okay. The greatest thing for the teacher to follow after, to seek after, is humility. It's the greatest thing. What they want, because it's from God, they want people to minister. It's from God. It's not a bad desire. But Scripture says, those who humble themselves will be lifted up by God. The only way these guys make it in the long run is if they strive after humility. They do very well. Amen. Where's the teachers? Thank you, Sob. Dasa. Okay, there's one there. Okay. be a good steward of your gift. Take it to God. Take it to God and seek after humility. Okay. This is a scripture that I think is something that the teacher must really hold close to his heart. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15. It says, for though you have 10,000 instructors or teachers, okay, same word. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, people that actually care. Many people was ready to give advice. Many people was ready to talk chitter chatter, but there was not a lot who really cared as a father cares for a son. And so this, I would, if this is your heart, if you think teaching, God has placed it in you, it's from Him, write this scripture on your fridge or wherever you go most of the time and read it and say, yes, Lord, I'm a father first. I love all these people. That's why I have a gift. Because the gift was given for others. So teachers, strive to be fathers. To love and bring near, to understand. Amen? Number four, you exhorts in his exhortation. It's just another word for encourage or motivate. All right. So these are the cheerleaders among us. All right. Osnelies, Susie Fanati. Little bit of Nicoline. Maar ik denk Nicoline se groot een kom nog. All right. Now, let me just read the next scripture to give you guys an idea. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. This just sums up their heartbeat, okay? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. These are the people that they can see the silver lining on the clouds where no one else can see it. And they focus on that silver line, and they talk about that one thing, and they go, and they go, and they go, and they go, until you just, you feel better, okay? I know this, they've got this thing about the hospital, right? Where they explain every one of these kids, right? Don't you just quickly want to do this one for us? What is vibe at the hospital?
Okay, so the case is this. There's someone in hospital, and people who are strongly gifted in each one of these gifts visits the person. Now, as Werner explained, the teacher would walk in, and he would say, okay, you know, so what did the doctor say? Oh, okay, it was epilepsy that was brought on by your diabetes. Oh, that's erg. You should really eat less sweets. You know? Stadig met daai koeksusters. So that's the teacher. Boom, that's the truth. You need to know that because if you know it, you'll be better. And I'm going to help you in that way. Exhorter comes in. Oh, what goes on? He's a pocket koeksusters. Don't worry, he'll feel better. You know? Tell me about it. And how's the nurses here? Okay. You know, yeah. And your mom, did your mom visit? Yeah, oh, shame. Yeah. What about your dog? You know, don't worry, I'll take care of your dog, or I'll get the mercy person to do it. Or the service person. Okay, so, yeah, I think there's a lot of those. I'm going to stop there.
No, that's a long story. The exhorter will basically tell the person, don't worry, I mean, you can be in a car, every bone in your body broken. Tomorrow you're walking out of this place. Tomorrow you're going home. I mean, these guys go for it, and we need them. When you are down and out, they step into your life, and they psych you up to live again. All right? These guys, yeah, it's like they alles op suiker, okay? They normally have a lot of energy and they go for it. Where's the encouragers in the house? Okay. Right. They pray prayers of faith. They pray for you. They don't sit and hug you too much. Okay. They start to pray. Lord, he will walk. He's going to break through. Lord's going to be amazing. They just get onto the victory pole. We need them. And we can also see these people way before they know Jesus. You see it. There's some people will say, "Yeah, can he do it?" And God places this in people. They the lovers and the cheerleaders to make sure we all run into heaven at the end. And they'll run at the back. As long as everyone is just going, then they're very happy. Everyone happy with this? It's the encourager or the exhorter. They can irritate you. Just want to say that. They can irritate you. Because you don't want to hear good news today. You want to just enjoy your day in bed. And then this guy comes along. Nee, jy moet nou opstaan. Ons gaan nou, ek weet nie, pizza eet. Dis okay, jy is so siekie, kom. And you know, sometimes you just want to, where's the off button? Okay? But you need them. Just thank God for them. Okay? Number 5. The one who contributes in generosity, giving. This is a very interesting thing. The givers, this can break a lot of people when God don't have that gift, okay? Because there is a part of them being motivated by emotion, they want to solve people's problems often by throwing money at it, all right? That's the way it looks before they know God, right? They will literally take funds that they should not touch to help. They get extremely motivated when people need financial help. Extremely. And other types of help. And so it's very important that God has this gift to teach them wisdom in it as well. The Bible says we must be a steward of what we have. Rentmeester. We must steward it with wisdom. Alright? Once these people know God, they've got a big faith of what God can do, normally around their finances, and they are the people that's free when it comes to it. They've got no problem trusting God with their finances. And they've got no problem. A tenth, a tithe, it's not in their wording. Okay, that's for them this claim. They outgive the capacity. They try and outgive God, and it's very hard for them to accomplish that. Because they are gifted. Givers. When they sow, fruit comes up. When they give, lives change. And it's interesting, these people gift out of faith. And I've got a friend like this. He actually, when there's something in his life where he feels there's pressure, there's almost like momentum is lost and he needs a breakthrough, he taps into his gift, then he gives. Whenever there's a time where he longs for a breakthrough, he'll say, God, where do I sow my way out of this? It's a gift of giving. It's on certain people that do it extremely well. They're the ones that blesses you guys. Die van julle wat al koffertjies gekry het en hoe het goed. And you never know who they are. Hulle is so spooke. Okay. You never get a name and you get very mad because you just want to thank someone but there's no one to thank. Because for them it's not about getting recognition. They want to watch you from a distance and see your life change with their giving. Isn't this amazing? Without the givers, we won't be here today. Where's the givers? Hulle wil nie sê nie. Sorry. This is a scripture that they would typically say, highlight and underline and I don't know what else you can do. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. Why? Seed is for sowing. Bread is for eating. And the scripture says, he will multiply your seed for sowing. And they're like, yes, I want more seed because I want to sow more. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. See, they understand there's a harvest. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is their anthem. They can write a song. It'll contain those two verses. They'll sing it over and over. I want to thank you guys. I know there's a lot of generous ghosts here. We are here because of you guys. Because of your faithfulness. And I know God will keep on pouring a lot of joy into your guys' lives. And I pray that it will spread among us. Amen. This. Number 6, the one who leads with zeal. Okay. Zeal means with energy or with being focused, without giving up. Now, the key thing about these people is they tend to take a step back and they ask themselves, how do we move the group of people, the we or the us, one step on? You see, they are not primarily motivated by the individual, unless they're combined with the gift of mercy which is coming. But they think about the team and they ask themselves, how do we take this company one step further? How do we take this church in the next step in which God is calling? And so often they will be labeled, what's the good word? People may sometimes say they're harsh. People may sometimes say it is quiet. But they're actually doing what they are supposed to do, is to take emotions out of the equation, because the mercy person is crying and the generous person is giving and everyone is so involved. The encourager is looking at the silver lining and everyone's so busy and they're like, people, we must move. We must move. And so we must thank God for these people. Because if it was not for them, we'd be a great bunch of 10 people having church. They move us. Amen? Where's the leaders? Where's the movers of people? In red, wash your hand. Verzeker. Are you guys with me? Awesome. Last one. The one who does acts of mercy, of cheerfulness. So the story that sums this up the best is the Good Samaritan. These guys, they're just lovers of mankind. Doesn't care where you're from, what you do. They, as you're doing stand by the hell song. Okay. They just want to be alongside you and make sure you're okay. Nanny Colleen, where's the other mercy people? Mercy men, sir. Handige op. Yeah. Some mercies. These guys, if you start to tear up when you, maybe you're sharing something at small group and you start to tear up, they cry before you. And once you are done crying, they carry on. Okay. They're just so connected with where people is. And they are gifted that way. They are God's gift to us. They are saying to us, they're communicating to us that He knows about you. And He feels what you are feeling. And so God places those people in your small group to remind you that God knows about your pain. Nil and it. Okay, sorry, I'm calling some names of people I know. I'm sorry I can't help every one of you, but I know some people. Lynette and Janae. Kijk hier zo. Iemand kan huil omdat hulle lag, en begin hulle ook huil. As soon as there's tears, it's voorbij. Okay, but we need them. I want to tell you, they lead many people to God, these people, because they stop and listen. When there needs to be someone, then they are there. Because the leader is about moving the group. He's focusing on what needs to happen. He's this guy, they're on ground level with the people, holding their hands, bringing them in, comforting them. They lead many people to Christ. And so mercy is the great way to describe him, because God is merciful to us. Which means there's times when He needs to punish us, but He gives us mercy instead because we are in Christ. And so we get these people to model mercy to you. Maybe you've messed up a lot. You've messed up. That's why you're in nonsense. Then these people come and they are a soft landing. They are God's mercy in human form. And we need them. Amen. If we only had these guys, then our budget for tissues would be too big, okay? But God has got us, gave us just the right amount, all right? So we say thank you for you guys. Thanks that you are here. Thanks for your heart. It's awesome to have you, and also to see every type of gift just working together in perfect harmony. These people, I just want to say, they must be in relationship or the world will drive them to depression. They will not see daylight if these people are left to their own devices. All right? The enemy will get them because their gift to see pain will be too much for them to bear in the long run. And so they need to be in a team so that they can be protected and covered. People will use these people. And I'll be straight with you, and I'll be honest, because this is what we do here. Young ladies with this gift, they're the type that gets abused by men more than any other time. Because they get drawn to all the wrong people. There's no wisdom. So can you see when the way you are made is left untouched by God, it can actually be your demise. So bring yourself to God. Very important. So that no gift goes wasted. Does that make sense? And then he finishes off and he says, oh, this will be a verse, these guys, an anthem for them, for the mercy people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's the word of Christ. Okay. And then Paul actually finishes off that section speaking on the gifts, and he says, let love be genuine. Let love come and just fill that whole gift package that's in you. And when we come together as a small group or as a church and we represent a lot of gifts, love must be in the middle of everything. Amen? Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Now let me just challenge you with this. We can go to the last slide, please, with all the gifts. You can see it in front of you. I'm going to help you with this. I want to say, with your gift, even if you're not sure what it is, maybe some of you think, oh, I think it's these two or that three. Just something for you to consider, or I want to challenge you with it, is live your life in such a way for God as a steward of these gifts that when He comes, there's nothing left. Live it out. Don't take a full cup to the grave. What a waste. You are gifted and it's for other people. Spend yourself in God's kingdom when it comes to this. This is the only thing when there's left of it in the cup at the end, you've wasted it. This is the thing you want to literally tip over and make sure as you live, you are emptying yourself. You are made to run in your gift. And what this means is you will actually, as you become faithful in it, draw more energy out of that serving. Because it's who you are. It's like when certain animals, when they're in the air and they're flying, you see they are made to do it. They don't get tired. They just... It's like when horses run. They're made to run. It's beautiful. And it just works. The more they run, the further they can go. This is the same with your gift. But I don't want you to be too caught up with what it is. I want to ask you tonight, are you bringing it to God? Are you bringing it? Will you bring it? Will you allow Him to use you? And then at the end, when you feel used by people, and you say, yes, that's what I've asked. I want to serve, and I'm the only one here. Everyone's left. I'm going to back this place up. God, I'm in your world. Whatever that translates to your gift, give it all. Let's stand up. Let's stand up tonight.